Olive and June.
I love press-on nails. It is something about me. It is one of my character traits. Guess what I did with my Olive and June long press-on nails a couple weeks ago? I went bowling and they stayed on the entire time.
So the nice thing about Olive and June is they have these kits where they have every single step you need to give yourself like a salon quality manicure at home. And it's in a cute little pink pouch.
Take it on the road.
With Olive and June's mani system, you can achieve beautiful salon perfect nails just for $2 a mani. That's pretty good, right?
Well, yeah, because you have that kit. That kit's like good forever.
So if you want salon perfect nails at home, now is the time to have your dreams come true. With Olive and June, your new nail life is here. Visit oliveandjune.com/VIALL for 20% off your first mani system. That's OliveandJune.com/VIALL for 20% off your first mani system. What's going on, everybody? Welcome back to another exciting episode of the Vile Files Ask Nick Edition. I'm your host, Nick, joined by Allie in studio. Amanda is abroad.
In the beautiful country of Boston, Massachusetts.
How's everyone doing? Allie, you?
Good. I don't have like a huge update about the boy. I'm like, I don't know how to describe it necessarily. I tried to like resurrect the conversation. I think the last time we talked, I like resurrected the conversation on like Saturday. Hadn't heard anything since. I'd like resurrected it again on Tuesday night. And he responds very quickly, but then it just never, you know, like we do a few back and forth, but it just doesn't really go anywhere. So I don't know. Is this bad? I didn't want it to be like a test per se, but I wanted to like see if he would start up a conversation.
Oh, that's fine.
And, you know, that was Tuesday night and it's Monday afternoon.
Yeah, it's a fine line between test. Yeah, I mean, you were trying to, like, that's the thing. You were trying to test him in the beginning.
Yeah. It's and like, then you called
you
me
had,
out on
you
it.
You had
yeah.
one date and all of a sudden you're like, all right, let's give him a test.
That
pop
was too
quiz.
Soon. That was too
exam
soon.
Exam time.
Yeah, and we decided that maybe you jumped the gun a little bit there. But I think in this situation, you have put yourself out there multiple times. Mm-hmm. You have been consistent with that. And I think it's more than reasonable for you to want and hope that he matches your level of interest mm-hmm. or at least reliability, I think.
Yeah, reliability, put something on paper.
Because he always responds eventually, right?
Oh, yeah. And it's usually like if I restart it after a few days, it's usually pretty quick. And it's like, oh, my gosh, I'm so sorry. Like there's always kind of an apology for the lack of talking.
He apologizes a lot.
Yeah. But then there's never
nothing.
You know what I mean? Like there's the apology, which I guess I appreciate. But then it's like nothing. It's never like he starts the conversation. It's just the sorry, which makes me question the sorry.
I think it's OK to move on at this point.
Yeah.
I remember, like, what I told you, what did I tell you when you secured the second date, which
yeah,
was...
Yeah, you've been very good with this whole thing. I've just been turning to Nick for all of my questions.
Because I think I said something like, great, now enjoy the second date, and whatever he does or doesn't do is part of you getting to know him, I think was mm-hmm. exactly my text. And this is you getting to know him, which is, I think he's just kind of a... Seems to be, again, like, probably in that more carefree fuckboy stage of his life. Mm-hmm. Did we find out if he lives with mom and dad?
He does.
Oh. He does. We were right about that.
Yeah.
That's fine. We're not judging. Yeah. But
no, I'm excited for the update.
Maybe it just means that he is not seeking a ton of expectation and responsibility. That might be that.
It's also LA. It's LA. California. It's really expensive. I kind of wish I was living somewhere for free.
Sure. But, and again, there's no shame in it because times are tough. Oh. But he's also seems like some people might just say, whatever I have to do, I'm a 8-year-old man. I'm going to make ends meet. Mm-hmm. And I would rather live on my own in a place that doesn't have a pool in the backyard, as opposed to like still living with mom and dad. Personal choice, but it's a choice nonetheless. And I think you can learn a little bit about maybe, you know, where they are mm-hmm. at in their life.
And that was never, like, I thought about it. It wasn't necessarily like a red flag for me per se, because again, it is such an expensive city. And I was like, you know, if he's like seems really dedicated to his career and it's like saving money and like all of those were green flags to me. So that wasn't the issue to me whatsoever.
But I think if you combine the fact that he lives with his parents with his more kind of laissez-faire approach to...
You think they go together?
I do. Yeah. That's an assumption we're making. Mm-hmm. We have a little to go on, so we're making some assumptions, but I don't think that's a leap. Do you know where his parents live?
I don't want to give away this much information.
Do you think he comes from money?
I don't know. It's kind of a hard read. I think he does very well for himself, like individually. Like he like...
So it's possible if he wanted to, he could get a place.
Oh, yeah. Like he was like upgrading his car. Like he wants a dream car. See, like he's doing well.
He's spending money in other areas. Exactly. That we can choose to judge. This is a man who is choosing to live with his parents, not because he has to, because he wants to. And at 28, that fucking matters. There's other ways to save money. Mm-hmm. You could live in a place that, again, doesn't have the glamour of a house you grew up in with the convenience of... All the wild conveniences that come with sometimes living at home with mom and dad.
Sometimes I think about like how glamorous like stairs are. You know what I mean?
No, seriously.
Like, being in a studio apartment, being in any apartment, like I like think about that. I'm like, oh my God, imagine having multiple floors.
You know what I'm saying? Like if your parents live in LA, what would you? Let's say they lived in like a 45 minutes away from here.
Should I be honest?
You'd live with them.
If I was making more money, I don't think if I was making more money, I would be living by myself, but I'm very stressed about money currently, having to pay for a place based on what I'm making, which is awkward to talk about with your boss staring at you.
Fine.
I was making more money, I think for sure I'd be living on my own. I don't know. Because I like living on my own. I really do. I'm a very like independent person.
And he's also 28. That's also different. I feel like at 28, you will and before 28,
oh my
you will
God,
be in a
yeah.
position where you're living by yourself and not as worried
How
about
I would
money.
Have described it to you is like, you know, I've been in LA coming up on 2 years. I think maybe for sure my first year out of college, I would have been living with them to save money. I never had that opportunity to like kind of build a nest egg after school because I don't have anyone to live with out here. Am I making sense? Like I could have seen it for like a year, maybe two. To save money, yeah, but after that point.
You moved here out of college, you took some risk, and you lived in one of the most expensive cities in the world.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's different than his situation.
Yeah.
And the good news is you feel differently now than you did.
Yeah. So for context, for those who weren't at Nick's house on the Friday when Nick was helping me craft a text with Amanda of what to say to this man and evaluating the text. Nick pointed out to me that the reason this conversation hadn't gone further was really my own fault because I was very curt and dismissive because I was disappointed and it was coming across on text.
Fault is a strong word. Oh. I just suggested that if you wanted to hang out with him again, the ball is in your court and it's not over.
Which
you might have been just approaching it.
Yeah. I was very defensive about that because I was upset because I was so excited about him to begin with. And I told Nick, I was like, if you're telling me that the reason this didn't move forward is on me, I'm really mad at myself. And then you were like, this is reconcilable. Like we can make this happen, which
now,
we did.
And now it's on him. Now,
yeah, because I think
your decision to move on is because you've realized, you know, he's.
And I think it was an interesting expansion of my own perception because it's like, I didn't mind double texting. I didn't mind necessarily boosting the conversation and bringing it back a few days later. I didn't second guess myself of being desperate or needy. I was just expressing interest and excitement, I guess, without being overboard. And now I feel like that I've done it several times. I kind of have my answer. It's not like, oh, we will never know what could have been. Like, I tried.
I love that for you.
Thank you.
On the topic of parents, I ended up introducing the boyfriend to the parents when they were in town.
How'd that go?
Really well. And then, yeah, really well. So... we're out here, and he went.
Is
to
he
to my
out
soccer.
There? No, is he with you?
Oh no!
Okay.
Although it's nice. His mom lives in the same city as.
That'll
my
make Thanksgiving easier.
You guys are from the same hometown.
Well, we're not. He's not from Boston, but his mom now lives in Boston. It's actually really cute. His mom lives so close to
I
my
stand
grandmother.
By my
yeah,
point.
Yeah, I feel like because my next question is like, where are we spending the holidays?
They'll be on the same flight regardless.
it's new. This is
you
a very
do
new
like Thanksgiving with one, Black
Amanda's
Friday with the other.
Love. Have we?
No, but I will say, like, at like really obscenely early on, there was like a game night with friends where like my two of my best friends from college who like ended up staying in Chicago were visiting. And so like my boyfriend was chatting with them and he was like, oh yeah. Like they're like, yeah, we're from Chicago. And he was like, oh yeah, I've always said like Chicago and Boston are like the two cities that I've always wanted to settle down in. And I was like, oh my God.
Amanda, I do think for like, sure wants to settle down. I'm on trying East to be Coast. Very. She's told me that.
I just feel like so it's nice because it's like even
when
though
you guys want to settle down,
she's before me. We talked about it on Valentine's Day. It's more on her radar than it is on mine.
Well, settling I think down? Ali, you don't
what
want
does settling
kids,
down
Becca?
Mean to you two right now in your lives?
I think for me, when I think about settling down, I think about being like growing roots somewhere, like moving somewhere with the intention of staying there for like an extended period of time, and like also with like I don't know, I want to have kids unless the climate is burning. So I feel like that when I think about settling down, I think it's like really like setting the stage for like where I want to like have a family and like where I feel like I can give kids if that were to happen. Like,
let me set the stage of how Amanda and I spent Valentine's Day. We left the studio, we went and poured cocktails and drank them on my roof. And Amanda was saying how she would love to be closer to her family and she could see herself maybe trying out New York before going to Boston. She wants to raise her kids closer to her family. This lovely, lovely like dream life. And then I was like, I hate the fact that women's 20s is just consumed by finding the one. Like, don't we have better things to do with our time? And then Amanda just takes a moment and she goes, you're going to run a PR firm by the time you're 30. And that was our Valentine's Day.
Okay.
You know? Such is life.
Who really knows different, what you two are going folks. To do? So many possibilities.
Someone do a Where Are They Now special in 20 years. I'd pay you money. I'll fund it myself.
Yeah, let's just keep our options open.
I feel like people would assume based on the way we like personalities that like Ali would be the one who's much more like, I'm going to have a family.
I think so. Yeah. I think that, yeah.
100%.
Like stable, traditional, like, it's all right. I don't know.
Yeah. This is the one where we kind of flip.
A weirdo freako.
I just find that your professional life's getting started and we're already thinking about settling down. Is that like a...
No, it's not like a like. Oh, I want this.
Is this your way of like putting in your 2 weeks?
She's putting in her 2 years notice.
Yeah, I'm actually pregnant. So when I say wanting to have kids, I think it's just like I think I'm just like a hyper. Like I'm an overthinker, and I really like to have a sense of like the grand scheme of things. Even though I know so much of that is like you can't predict it. You just have to see what happens. But like I think I just have this fear. I think my biggest fear is like. That I'm living in a way that's going to like fuck over my future self. So I think I always like to have a consideration of like, what are things that I could imagine myself wanting down the line? And how do I make sure I'm like behaving in a way that balances like my wants for now, while also not like eliminating possibilities or like making things difficult in the future.
And I feel like I lived all of my high school and like childhood like that. And now I'm just like free flowing.
I think it's all going to work out.
And on that note,
we have a great episode for you. And before we get to our callers, if you're listening on a Monday morning and you have some text issues and you need some guidance on how to draft an important text to someone, email us at snickacastme.com, cats with a K.
We have great
whether
track
you're trying
record.
To shoot your shot.
Yeah.
Whether you're trying to shot. Make it flirty with someone you're already texting with and you want to send them a message that kind of like ups the ante.
Yeah, we have an excellent track record. Of success.
We even just got an update that someone basically hooked up with a guy again, even if she wasn't sure she would. So
there you go.
You heard it here
we're
first,
getting people
folks.
Laid.
We're getting them laid.
Dates. It's amazing.
We're getting clarity.
Email us. And both obviously for our Ask Nick episodes. And by the way, I assume all of the people listen to Ask Nick listen to all of our shows.
They're a trifecta.
Yeah. I feel like you have like you can listen to just one of our shows and be fine, but like I think it's not the meal. It's prepared to be enjoyed.
It's
together.
Like those ice creams with the three flavors. Yeah. You know, you could just carve away in one section, but if you scoop them all together,
it's a really good bite. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we're not section eaters on this. We have a great week lined up for you. We'll be diving in more into the Johnny Depp Amber Heard of it all to talk about all the things that have been going on last week, which is a lot. And we'll have a lawyer with us. Great.
Get that legal perspective.
Get that legal perspective. And then going deeper, it's so good. We were not even going to tell you yet. It's a surprise.
We have to keep it behind closed doors.
You're going to get ravaged.
Curtains closed.
Ooh, boy. Let's get to our callers. Storyworth. That's right. Give the gift of memories and loves and stories of their closest people in your life. People like your parents, your grandparents. I've mentioned this several times, but it was a great gift I give to my dad. And if you can give the same great gift to, you know, you got Father's Day coming up.
And I feel like dads are so hard to shop for.
Yeah, they are hard to shop for, but they also have great stories about their childhood. It's time to start learning about your parents or your grandparents. They got some fun, cool stories. Every week, Storyworth emails your dad a thought-provoking question of your choice from a vast pool of possible options. Each unique prompt asks questions you've never thought to ask. Like, what was your fondest childhood memory? Have you ever feared for your life? Et cetera, et cetera. And after 1 year, Storyworth compiles all these questions and stories, including photos, into a beautiful keepsake that the whole family can share for generations. Give all your fathers in your life a meaningful gift you can both cherish for years to come. Storyworth, right now, for a limited time, you can save $10 off your first purchase when you go to storyworth.com/VIALL. That is storyworth.com/VIALL. To save $10 off your first purchase, storyworth.com/VIALL. ShipStation! No wonder ShipStation is trusted by over 100,000 sellers because they are giving small businesses that are running e-commerce stores the same type of deep discounts that are normally reserved for Fortune 500 companies. So whether you are shipping USPS, FedEx, UPS, it doesn't matter. It works with over 300 platforms like Amazon, eBay, Etsy, Shopify to automate processes like fulfillment and tracking to save you time and money, get better customer service, more insight into your orders. We use it with Natural Habits. I can't say enough about it. Don't let the big guys keep all the good discounts to themselves. The best part is you can sign up now using our promo code VIALL for a free 60-day trial. You don't even have to put a credit card down. Just go to ShipStation.com and start saving with every shipment. That's 2 whole months of discounted shipping absolutely free. Just go to ShipStation.com, click on the microphone at the top of your page, and type in VIALL. Make ship happen. How's it going?
Hi, my name's Mackenzie and I'm 30.
How can I help, Mackenzie?
Okay, so basically I'm going to try my best to make like a really long story short.
Okay.
I met the guy I've been on and off with in 2018. We met in school and we became really close friends. And over the course of our schooling, he was like venting to me about being unhappy in his marriage of over like 15 years. So he's quite a bit older than me, like 19 years older than me.
Okay.
And I was phasing out of like a really bad relationship at the same time. I'd been in this relationship for like 10 years, basically all of high school. So we related on like a lot of levels in that way. He was unhappy for like a really long time. And he just said he didn't want to hurt her and that he was struggling with the whole situation. They have an adult son together.
You were, but you were both in relationships. So he was currently married at the time you met?
Yes. I was out of a relationship, but he was currently married.
Gotcha. And while he was talking with you about his marriage, did she have any idea that he didn't want to be in the marriage potentially?
No, not at the time.
Gotcha. All right.
And so school went on and then we just were hanging out as a friendship. And then around mid 2019, about like a year later, he decided that he was going to leave and he ended up moving out onto his own.
Leave his wife.
So around this. Yes. Okay. So he moved out. And they were separated.
At this point, had you guys crossed any lines?
Yes.
You had hooked up?
Yes.
He cheated on his wife?
Yes.
Okay.
So then we were like hanging out more, just keeping it kind of like a casual thing. I was kind of on the fence because he's so much older than me. And, but I started like falling really hard for him. And he was like he's a really caring guy. And we just got along so well. We have a ton in common. We have really good chemistry. And so then around November 2019, we decided that we were going to get serious and actually date each other. But he was still married. He was separated, but not divorced, not legally divorced.
Okay.
So she wasn't, the split wasn't something that she wanted. So she was really struggling. Like, she was crying all the time and calling him and really sad. And sure. I was trying my best to be understanding because it's like hard to lose your husband after all that time. And she technically didn't do anything wrong. And he was saying that he desired like a peaceful relationship with her and he didn't want to be mean to her or rude. And so I was trying my best to just let it be. And he would spend a lot of time there because he had to see his son and his son lived there. And he also was helping her babysit his grandson because his stepdaughter was deployed. So the grandson's like 3 years old. So they both were taking care of the grandson together as well.
Okay.
And then she ended up finding out about me and that added like a whole big new issue because she was even more upset that he was with somebody so fast and that he was with someone so much younger than him because she didn't know that he'd been unhappy for this length of time. And so I was just feeling really super bad about it, but I was trying my best to just give everything time to settle.
Did you feel bad about having an affair with him?
Partially, yeah. Partially, no, just because I knew he was unhappy. But also, like, I never intended for us to really become serious in the long run. Mm-hmm. I mean, that sounds kind of awful, but I was like, I wasn't sure if I would ever really be with him in a serious relationship. So I guess I never planned on things ending up this way. So I wasn't really worried about it.
Okay.
But then I really fell in love with him and wanted more than casual with him.
Okay.
And so I was just trying to let everything settle. I was like, okay, when she's, you know, has kind of calmed down and isn't so sad anymore, like hopefully she'll move on and accept it more. And then, so she did kind of calm down, everything kind of calmed down in the sense that she wasn't calling and crying all the time or being upset. But she still would talk to him a lot and still, I could tell, obviously was interested in not getting divorced.
How long were they
and
married so, for?
Over like 20 years, basically. Okay.
All right.
And so we came up on like a year together and he still hadn't showed any initiative of getting divorced at all. Like they were separated. He would tell me over and over again how he didn't want to be with her. He had told her multiple times that he didn't want to be with her, but he still hadn't officially, like, legally filed the papers.
And you know this because this is what he told you?
Yeah.
Gotcha.
Good. And I hadn't met any of his family. Every holiday, we were separate. He had met my family and met all my friends.
Sure.
But, like, on the holidays, he would go to his parents, and she would obviously go there, and their kids and all their family would be there. And he, I'm assuming, didn't want drama or issues, so he wouldn't take me there. And, that was starting to cause like some really huge fights. And so basically right after our 1 year anniversary, I was like, I can't be with a married man. You're not showing any initiative towards our future. So we broke up and we both agreed that we needed time, but we didn't want to see other people. So we still basically everything was the same, just with that title. We still hung out all the time. We still spent all this time together. And I ended up kind of just being upset about the whole situation, getting a little resentful. And I saw somebody else for a while, dated somebody else. He got upset. We ended up getting back together. So basically since then,
it's why'd just you been get like back together? Because he got upset? What changed?
Well, he got upset. And so we had a big talk about everything. And he had said, you know, I'm going to get divorced. I'm just not ready yet. I just need a little bit more time.
So nothing changed. But
yeah, nothing changed.
Gotcha.
But I just agreed to get back together with him because I wanted to be with him so bad. And like, I saw him as the person I was going to be with for the rest of my life. Like my future, I thought, was with him. And so basically since then, it's literally just been a vicious cycle of we break up because he's not divorced. We still act like everything's the same, even though we're broken up. And then we decide to get back together for whatever reason. And then I try to ignore the fact that he's still not legally divorced. And then I end up getting angry about it. We blow up, we get in another really big fight. And like at this point, after a few of these cycles, like my two closest friends were like, we don't want to talk to him anymore. We don't want to be around him. We don't want to see him. We're not going to be in public with you guys together. Like, we don't agree that he's still married. We know it's hurting you. And so we just completely, like, it caused these big issues in my friendship. My two best friends and I hardly talk anymore. And
so your two best friends have distanced themselves from you as a result of your relationship with him.
Yeah.
And what do you, what do you think about that?
Originally I was pretty upset about just losing the friendship, and I kind of first blamed it on him. But recently I've been going to therapy, kind of trying to get help there. And it's kind of showed me that, maybe they weren't as good of friends as I thought they were. Because I feel like, I just feel like they should have been there for me no matter what I was going through, like whether they liked him or not.
I guess it just depends on, I mean, I wasn't there to have those conversations with your friends, but you can be a friend and distance yourself from someone because you don't approve of what they're doing, and they might be trying to set a boundary with you, all because they ultimately care about you. They might disapprove with your choices and how you're going about things, or maybe they're having a hard time seeing you make choices that continue to hurt you, and all you seem to do is to complain about it in general and keep making the same choices over and over, and even though nothing's actually changing. So maybe they try to set a boundary and they try to show some tough love in hopes that you, you know, wake up from this pattern that you're having. So that's an option that's has nothing to do with whether how good or not good of friends they are to you.
Yeah. And I guarantee, like, that's what it is. I know I've had like bad relationships before, and I know they really care about me, and that they're just trying to kind of do the tough love approach, because I do cry to them about things, and I have like broke down in the past to them, and they just get frustrated seeing me sad. So yeah, the whole situation.
So we agree that maybe they aren't that they're not bad friends, or.
Yeah. Well, one of them, I completely really don't even talk to anymore. We kind of, this was just like a stepping stone kind of for us to address other issues we had in our friendship.
If these friends were calling in, what do you think they would say to me? If they were like talking, if they were like, hey, we have this friend, she's dating this married guy. It's been going on for a year and a half. He cheated on his wife with her. We don't trust him. We think he's a cheater.
Yeah, I think that's basically what they'd say. They'd just say, like, we've seen her hurt for so long. It's just upsetting us to see her go through this cycle. Like, they've told me to my face, you're smart, you're great, you have so much going for you, and this guy's, 20 years older than you, and
well, I don't know, you deserve to be age happy. His age is like seems to be the most irrelevant fact. I mean, you're both adults. You're a 30-year-old woman. Like, you can date someone 19 years older than you if you want. And his behavior, he sounds like a 24-year-old fuckboy. So, like, hey, you got that going for you. You know, so, like, his age has really nothing to do with how he's handling this situation in this moment. So, like, it's like you seem to be hung up on this age difference, but, like, I'm more hung up on his behavior and his choices and his character. And you don't seem to be focused on much of any of that. ZocDoc! Maddie, what, you got a new doctor?
I have a dentist appointment tomorrow.
And?
At 11:45, because that is the, I work
no
weird hours.
No one contact her
I
tomorrow.
Needed a weird, like an exact time to get a doctor's appointment. And so I could go on ZocDoc. I could put in my health insurance. I could say, this is a dentist. So I was like, I need just like your routine fill, like cleaning. But there were all these different options. You could even specialize by the procedure you're looking for. Then I was able to see all the doctors. I could see like what their star rating was, what other like patients had said about them.
Usually you would have to like find a doctor and then call their office. Do you have an opening
like,
then?
And
be like, no. Yeah. But like you streamline. And how long did that process take you?
So short. So short, like truly like 3 minutes maximum. And that's because I like reading reviews.
Well, and the reviews are the nicest part.
Well, ZocDoc is a free app that shows your doctors who are patient reviewed, take your insurance, and are available when you need. Read up on local doctors, get verified patient reviews, and see what other real humans had to say about their visit. Hey, listen, so many of you right now, again, have things that you probably check up you've been avoiding, and maybe it's just because you didn't know who to go to. Go to ZocDoc, download it. It's free, and start using it ASAP. Go to ZocDoc.com, choose a time slot and whether you want to see the doctor in person or video visit. And just like that, you're booked. Go to ZocDoc.com/VIALL and download the ZocDoc app for free. Then start your search for a top-rated doctor today. Many are available within 24 hours. That's ZocDoc.com/VIALL. ZocDoc.com/VIALL.
Here's the thing. I love my away suitcase probably more than, I'm not sure, not like most other things, because I've taken it everywhere and it fits everything I need. I took it to New York for 5 days, only needed a carry-on because I had away. I'm leaving tomorrow morning. Guess what I'm packing? My away. I went to San Diego and I put it in the back of my car. It is the perfect accompaniment for any trip and journey you're going on.
It's like, amazing.
Usually when we talk about baggage on this show, it's not a good thing. Yeah. This is the right kind of baggage. There's a portable charger. There's a laundry bag.
There's a TSA lock on it so you can keep all your shit together.
I've had my away suitcase for over 3 years now. It looks brand new.
And if anything were to ever break, there's a lifetime warranty.
A lifetime warranty. They also give you a 100-day trial. You can try it for 100 days. Fly all over the world with it.
Literally, who does that?
And you can return it if you want. I mean, I don't know why you would. No one does. That's probably why they have this type of crazy offer, because they know people fall in love with it. It's it spins, it rolls, it's got 360 spinners. It's
so smooth.
It's smooth. It has a removable laundry bag. It's really nice. It's a really convenient. Also, like at the airport, it's like a club. Everyone's like, is that on a way? And you kind of
you
nod.
Just like roll around with it. I feel very sexy.
You can really feel like an elitist.
Yeah.
And it doesn't cost all that much, because luggage can be weirdly expensive. Not away though. There's a 100-day trial on everything away makes. Take the product out on the road, live with it, travel with it, even get lost with it for 100 days. Start your 100-day trial and shop the entire away lineup of travel essentials, including their best-selling suitcases at awaytravel.com/VIALL. That's awaytravel.com/VIALL. Away offers free shipping and returns on any order within the contiguous US, Europe, Canada, and Australia.
Get away.
You got to start looking at this person's actions and their character and what they're really about, and stop making excuses for them and stop discounting like the things that matter. Like, there's nothing that you've described to me that's a healthy explanation to why this person should be in your life.
Yeah. I think I was just getting hopeful for like the potential of something. Like, I kept thinking like, at some point, you know, I'm going to be worth it for him to get divorced.
How often do you listen to the show? Do you listen to it, Alexa, every Monday?
Yes, I do.
I do not. Like, I mean, thank you. Yeah. I mean, I'm glad it's finally entertaining, like, but like, what the fuck, you know?
Like, I was like, I think I already know what he's going to tell me, but I'm going to try anyway.
Well, listen, thank you for calling. And obviously, you listen to this show, like, you've heard me talk about what it means when you find yourself feeling hopeful. At any point that did not resonate you when I was saying, hey, if you're feeling hopeful in a relationship, that is a signal of what you are not getting in a relationship. And that doesn't mean you should break up just because you feel hopeful that something might change. But when all you are is hopeful, and that's all you are, what are you grateful for?
I mean,
when it
like
comes
I said,
to him,
we do have
in this relationship.
We do have a great time when we're together. Like, we have a lot in common and we laugh a lot and we go do fun things together. And like, we go out on a lot of dates. We go on trips. We do things like that.
So he's entertaining. You're grateful that he's entertaining and you're physically attracted to him and maybe you have some good sex.
Yeah. And like, he's easy to talk to and stuff like that. But I feel like he's easy to talk to when I'm venting. And then when we fight, he's like, we have different communication styles, so he completely shuts down and doesn't want to talk about it in the moment.
If you made a list of all the things you're hopeful and grateful for, how long do you think that hopeful list would be?
Well, as time's gone on, I think it's kind of getting shorter, because I think my hopefulness is kind of turning into hopelessness just because it's been since 2018 and he says,
but if you made a list of all the things that you hoped he would do or you hoped would change, it sounds like that list would be pages. Potentially, how you would fight, how you would communicate, and what you were grateful for would be you know, there's some chemistry. You travel. It's fun. He's entertaining. Be like three lines.
Yeah.
And I'm just wondering why you're having such a hard time creating, you know, like having higher expectations for yourself. Why you were willing to allow these friends to distance themselves from you for the sake of this guy. Like, at what point, what's your breaking point? At what point for you is it going to be enough?
Yeah. And I think that I don't know. I mean, I started going to therapy, which is helping, but I think that maybe I carried some things over from past relationships as well. Like of people I've let treat me kind of badly and then maybe kind of disguise the way he's treating me since it's a little bit better than the last person as, oh, this must be so much better because, you know, the last guy did all these horrible things and he doesn't do those things, but he just does them different things that aren't great.
I mean, I'm really sorry that you've had anything bad happen to you or you've been treated poorly, but at some point you just have to expect more from yourself. I mean, mentally you could say I'm done.
Yeah.
And you could call him up and say, I don't know, if you're talking to him and say, I've decided to move on, and you could block him immediately. You could disappear. You could say, you know what? I recognize that this person is not good for me to have in my life. And I also can recognize that I might not currently have the strength or the words or the tools to enforce the boundaries I want to set. So you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to get off this call and I'm going to block them on everything and I'm going to disappear because like that I can do, that I have the strength to do. And then I'm going to ask friends that I have in my life to help me hold accountable and I'm just going to like disappear because it sounds like, you know, while that, you know, it sounds like something you might need to do because it seems like right now you lack the tools and the capability to stand up to this guy because he seems so convincing. And you're vulnerable to your feelings for him, et cetera, et cetera. But like, it doesn't seem like mentally you're there. And I'm like worried that you're gonna get off the phone and convince yourself that you should keep trying.
I know that it's over in a sense. And like you said, I don't
not
feel
unless
like
you
I have
decide
the strength.
It. Yeah, no, it's,
yeah.
You have to make a choice. You just seem so passive. It's like you just want things to happen for you. You either want him to get a divorce and decide to be this person you always wanted him to be, or, but like, you know, it's over if you decide. And you should see that as control that you have. That's power that you have. But you don't seem to ever want to use that. That's something you said you're going to therapy and it's awesome. Like I would ask about that. Like I do this. I'd love to explore that. I'd love to feel like I can start, you know, making choices for myself and I could, you know, stop waiting for everyone around me to like make choices for me. Because the only choice you seem to be willing to make is to wait.
Yeah. I feel like I just don't have the strength. I feel like I'm like, okay, I convinced myself I don't have the strength to enforce the boundaries. So I just don't even try. Cause I'm like, why would I try if I'm just going to fail, you know? So I need to work on figuring out how to be better at doing that sort of thing. And actually just do it, not questioning myself and just doing it.
Well, it can be tough, but I would, if I were you, I would block him. I would never talk to him again. Yeah. That's what I would do.
Yeah.
But I don't know if you're going to do that. And then I would work on, I hope for you that you do. And then I would try to focus your therapy on trying to find that strength and the tools to start getting better at following through with enforcing your boundaries. And choosing yourself and break this cycle.
Yeah. Yep. That's what I think I need to do as well.
Okay. Well, I'm sorry you're going through this, but there is definitely light at the end of the tunnel. And it seems like a lot of it is on your willingness to prioritize your needs. All right.
Okay.
All right. Take care.
Thank you.
All right. Bye-bye. How's it going?
I'm good. How are you?
Good. What's your name?
Jenna.
And Jenna, how old are you?
I'm 25.
How can I help?
So about 2 months ago, my close work friend set me up with a guy, let's call him Peter, who happened to be her childhood best friend's cousin, who also works with us to make things complicated.
Okay. Childhood's best friend's cousin. Okay. So she just set you up with some random, basically.
Right. Who works with you? Spider web. Yes.
Gotcha. Okay.
And We texted for a couple of days, and then we met up on to go on a date, and everything went great. I was like, oh, this is fantastic. And we started hanging out a lot and just trying to get to know each other, just figuring out that, you know, we have a lot in common. We have the same breed dog. We both go to the same places, yet we've never ran into each other, that kind of a thing. And he did seem a bit more excited than I was, just because I was trying to be cautious, I think. And on the third date, he did ask me if I wanted to make things official, even though we hadn't even kissed yet.
How old is he?
He's 25 as well.
Okay. Sharon, you had two good dates, and on date three, he's like, let's be boyfriend and girlfriend.
Correct, yeah. Okay. So I, in my past, have really fallen for that and kind of just jumped in, and it's never really worked out. So I decided I was just going to say, no, let's take things a little bit slower. He seemed to be okay with this. We did kiss later that night, so there's that, I guess. Everything seemed to be going really well, and then he expressed some concerns to me about my coworker and his cousin, that they just kind of got on his nerves sometimes, because I guess some backstory would be, I guess the way that the friend introduced him to me was, oh, he's a great guy. We always invite him to go do things with us because he always insists on paying.
Okay.
I kind of blew that off just because she'd always made jokes like that around me, and I thought maybe that's just kind of how she was. But the concerns that he expressed to me were that they never pay him back. And so me, trying to be the helpful person that I am, even though I probably shouldn't have, said, well, maybe they don't know that you want them to pay you back. And, you know, kind of
sure.
What I had said earlier was like, oh,
seems like a logical, you know, possibility.
Yeah.
Sure.
And so maybe you should just talk to them about it. Well, a couple weeks go by and everything with us seems to be going great. We're still continuing to hang out a lot. And he goes over to his cousin's house and talks to her about asking her, you know, what are some cute date ideas? And where could I take her that you think would be kind of fun just for some advice? And she, I guess, shot back fairly quickly with, I don't really think that you should see Jenna anymore, and I don't like her vibe, and I think that she's using you, and I, you know, can't get to know her because talking to her is like talking to a brick wall, and, you know, I don't like that she volunteers to help watch your dog because that's my job. And it all sounded really super childish to me, but
you found this out through him.
Yeah, and so I was like, okay, this is maybe she's just a little upset, or she's feeling.
Well, I guess.
Well,
how did you find this out? He came to you and said, "Guess what I heard."
He came to me and told me. Gotcha. Like, he left her apartment because we were supposed to have dinner, and so he came to pick me up, and this, I guess, had all unfolded. He was really upset about it because he wanted her opinion and he wanted her support, and she just kind of flipped on him, I guess.
Gotcha. And are you friends with this cousin of his?
No, I mean, we work on different floors, so we don't really see each other that much. It's a pretty big building, and I have tried to talk to her a couple of times when she comes and sits at lunch, and she has no interest in talking to me, from okay. What it seems like. And
I mean, they're just cousins.
What?
They're just cousins.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess some cousins can be really close, but
right. I guess it feels like more of a brother-sister kind of thing for gotcha. Some reason, though they haven't really been hanging out for that long.
Okay.
So a little backstory. In their previous relationships, they weren't allowed to talk to each other or see each other because their significant others didn't like it, I guess. And so when their relationship...
The cousins?
Yeah, like Peter and his cousin couldn't hang out together because their significant others, in the way that they described it to me, were jealous, I guess.
Of them being cousins?
And hanging out so much? I don't know.
Okay. That's...
It seemed weird to me because I was like, well, it's your cousin. I don't think anything's going to happen there.
He told hopefully. You this, though. He was like, hey, and in the past.
Right.
My girlfriends would get jealous of me and my cousin hanging out.
Yeah, and her boyfriend got jealous too, I guess. And my coworker.
And this is after you found out that the cousin, for no actual reason, decided to try to sabotage this budding relationship you had with him.
No, this would have been before that.
He told you before.
Yeah, he told me this probably on our fourth date.
Gotcha. So when you found out that she was talking shit, did it start making sense as to why
people... A little bit, yeah. I was trying to give her the benefit of the doubt because my coworker friend, she said, oh, yeah, they weren't allowed to talk. Like, she had kind of filled me in a little bit on it beforehand. And I was kind of like, oh, well, who would care about that? Because they're cousins. Why would anybody be weird about that? Because, you know.
Well, I guess the question is, like, who's the weird one here? Is it the exes or is it them? You know, you can tell me a version of the story that for whatever reason, they both dated people who strangely didn't like how much time they spent together, regardless of their family, and said they didn't want them to talk to him, and this guy and his cousin strangely like agreed to not talk to each other, and now that he's seeing you, maybe the cousins, him and his cousin, like think that you're going to do the same thing, which is nuts, but like I don't know, maybe they got PTSD. It just seems so bizarre. I mean, like, you know, it's a little strange. It's not that strange, but it's a little. There's a lot of like strange behavior, I guess, that you're describing.
Right.
Him wanting to be your boyfriend, like after on the third date with, you know, after bowling with you twice or whatever it is you guys did on your dates. And then this whole cousin thing is kind of just weird. So like, where are we at? Like, what's your question?
I guess my question would be, is it weird that they hang out that much? It bugs me a little bit because I feel like I have to constantly compete with her for his attention now, like in the last week. She's always trying to make all these like forward plans. And I feel like I kind of like took over her role in his life in a weird way because they used to hang out so much. And now they don't, and now we have to just find this weird balance.
I mean, what have you talked to him about? Like, have you talked with him about this?
A little bit, and he kind of just shuts me down about it. Like, oh, you know, I'm just going to go with whoever makes the plans. We just have to try to find this happy medium.
I mean, yes, your story sounds very bizarre. I'm like half waiting for you to be like, and then they had sex.
Right.
So I don't know. It sounds, this whole thing sounds childish and odd. If I were in your shoes, I guess this is the best way I could answer this question. And I just met someone like them and was curious to get to know them better. And all of a sudden they were like, yeah, I have this cousin and like, we're close, but like, you know, my last, you know, just so you know, like it's like a sensitive issue because my last girlfriend like didn't like being out with my cousin so much. I'd been like, why? And then I'd be really curious as to the why and what they said, you know? And it doesn't seem like you have any answers as to the why. You can make some guesses. You don't really know if it was more of an issue that like an insecurity that the ex had, or was it because they had this kind of strange, intense relationship? And the more you seem to get to know him and this relationship, the more you are actually wondering if they do in fact have a strange, intense relationship. But like, you should be able to talk to him about this. And if not, it's, you know, it's like, it's just like, that's weird. It's weird that you can't sit down with this guy and have a, what should be a real simple conversation to have a clear scope of like why there's so much drama around this relationship with this cousin.
Yeah. And I guess, is it weird for me to kind of, I guess I'm not, to feel a little odd about the, that they are so close. I didn't feel odd about it in the beginning, but I kind of feel odd about it now because, you know, his family will joke and be like, oh, she's his platonic life partner, which I found really odd.
Yeah, that's and, fucking weird.
Yeah, and his coworkers, when I met them, you know, he brought me in there one day just to like introduce me to his coworkers, and they were like, oh, no way, you can't be dating her, like, you know, you date your cousin. And it was like, oh, haha, a joke.
And these guys want to
fuck. It's super weird. And I just don't, he apparently like hates that, but it's just weird that it happened. Like, it just seems to be like a super common consensus. And I don't know if he, like, they did it by accident or that they were just maybe using each other to get over each other's previous relationships in some weird way.
I think the only way to handle this, if you want to keep hanging out with this guy, is to just call it what it is and just be like, hey, buddy, like, you have a very unique relationship with your cousin. I'll just call it unique. And like, there's a lot of weird comments that people make about this relationship. And I don't know, like, I don't want to like, but I'm uncomfortable. Like, it's uncomfortable. And not only that, more importantly, your cousin, who you have this unique relationship, seems to, it's like, at first I was like, there's no way they would do this because why? But like, they clearly are starting drama with me. So it's like, I don't know. You need to like figure out what this is or what, like, what's going on here. Cause like, until you do, like, this is just too weird for me. Just name it.
Yeah.
I don't know. Like, I don't know what the hell's going on. Like, it's fine being close with family. You know, you can, you know, cousins can have a brother sister relationship for sure. And brothers and sisters could be so close that they could get jealous of people getting romantic partners. Parents can get jealous of their kids finding romantic partners because they feel replaced. Like, that can be a normal feeling. But either he's not capable of like doing things on his own and growing up to the past, or like pushing back on mom or cousin or sister or whoever it is. But like, yeah, this more, the big picture is, despite like all the, like the snark around like these jokes around it's his cousin, is that she clearly has some kind of power over him. Right. And she clearly tries to invoke some control over him. And like, like, you've only been dating this guy for a month. You know, it's not like, what, I haven't heard anything from you on your end being like, this guy's so great and everything's perfect. It's like, it sounds like a guy you like, who it's been going well so far and it's like fine and he's nice enough. But like, it just seems like it's not worth it. And then you work with him. There's a whole nother layer of like, you know, weird, like, you know, because if it doesn't work out, then it's messy. It just sounds like this is going to be a lot more drama than it's worth just to like have a boyfriend.
Yeah. And I mean, I do, for the short time that we've been together, like, and she hasn't been involved in the picture until, you know, the last maybe 2 weeks. I mean, it's half the time, but I mean, it's been great as far as like, yeah, our relationship goes. We have a lot in common. We have a really good time when we go out and do things.
Sure.
And he is really sweet.
Yeah, I'm sure those are all true. That doesn't necessarily mean he should be your boyfriend.
Right. That's fair.
And despite him being nice and sweet and whatever, he has this very unique, awkward, unclear relationship with his cousin, where she weirdly seems to have a problem with him dating anyone. And wants to start drama. And the fact that you work with these people, like, that's, if I were you, like, I don't know what your thought, like, I don't, if this job is like a dream job or a career, or if it's just like some job, But it sounds like it's a career, like a job, that I would prioritize that over this, what sounds like it's going to get messy. And he doesn't honestly, this guy doesn't sound very, it's not a very mature thing for him to, after on the third date, just be like, let's be my girlfriend. That sounds like he's 16. And obviously a lot of this conversation sounds very childish. And I just feel like, you know, the chances of this turning into anything legitimate are unlikely given his immaturity in general.
Right. And we're all the same age, and it seems very oddly normal for them to have all this drama. And I am like, this is the most drama I've experienced in my whole life. Like, what is going on?
Well, that should weigh heavily on your decision. Like that should be something you consider in addition to him being a nice guy. Be like, I'm dating a nice guy who has a unique, this weird relationship with his cousin who directly or indirectly is getting me involved in drama I don't want to be involved in.
Yeah.
So that matters. I don't think you have enough good information to justify you continuing to invest in this really strange situation.
Yeah. I mean, I guess I could sit him down and say, we need to talk about this. I need these questions answered, or I can't keep doing this.
Sure. Yeah, you could do that. I personally think it's a waste of your time, but you could do it.
Yeah.
It sounds like you already tried. He doesn't seem all that capable.
Yeah. And he just seems a little defensive. And I guess I can get being defensive over family, but
yeah, it's just weird.
It's weird.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, you could talk to him, but I just think this guy's a bit childish. And I don't think he's ready for a girlfriend. I think he likes having a girlfriend. I don't know, you know, depending on what you're looking for in a relationship. If you're just looking to have someone around, then, you know, he could be your guy. But this guy seems like he has some major growing up to do.
Yeah, and I'm not really looking for that. I've done that. I've had that in the past. And I just want somebody who I can, like, grow a future with. And sometimes it seems a bit hard to see that with everything that's going on.
I don't think this is him right now. I don't think he's in a position to be growing a future with anyone but cousin Betty. I would nip it in the bud.
That's good advice.
All right. Well, hopefully that was helpful.
It was helpful, yeah.
All right. All right, well, take care.
Thanks, you too.
All right, bye-bye.
Bye.
How's it going?
Hi, my name is Jen. I'm 30 years old, and I wrote in because I've been in a 1.5 year relationship at this point with my boyfriend. A little bit of background info. We work together. We're also 10 years apart. So he's 40, I'm 30. We've been having quite a few issues because I'm a very classic, like, anxious person. So I have all of the symptoms of, like, anxious attachment. And he has all the symptoms of an avoidant attachment. And I honestly didn't really understand that until I started going to therapy maybe 5 or 6 months ago, because the issues were becoming so overwhelming. I didn't really know what to do. So looking inward at what I was doing seemed like the best option, since, you know, I can't really control what he does, but I can't control what I do. Mm-hmm. So we work in the healthcare field. And right now, since we started dating, he has been on this path to this insane once-in-a-lifetime promotion, which I'm really proud of him for. However, it has been at the expense of our relationship. And I've gone through it with him since the very beginning of it, which is kind of how we ended up meeting to begin with. And the beginning of our relationship was nice. He, you know, was very attentive, very kind, and, you know, made me feel loved and appreciated. But then I thought it was kind of weird when the honeymoon phase kind of died down 3 months, which honestly is pretty early in my opinion. And then I started seeing more of him checking out completely from our conversations. I had some family issues where my grandma suffered like some third degree burns. And I was looking at him, like straight at him. And I was shaking in my voice, trying not to cry. And he looked completely through me and made a comment about work as a response. And at that moment, I was like taken aback because I was like, okay. So I didn't say anything. And I've been in a previous relationship for 10 years where I know we don't use the word gaslighting like loosely, but you know, my previous relationship literally would make me feel like feeling the way that I felt was wrong. Mm-hmm. And so for 10 years, I was kind of taught to that what I was feeling was wrong, right? So in my mind, in this new relationship, I was like, surely he didn't mean to completely ignore a major family crisis that I'm going through. So what I'm feeling is definitely wrong. And so I continued on for several more months, just keeping things to myself.
Did you address that though, that moment?
Not at that moment, no.
But like any time, like a week later or a couple days later?
Like maybe like 3 months later.
Okay. Well, when you addressed it, then what do you say?
He felt bad and he said that he kind of froze. He didn't know what to say. Mm-hmm. So he tried to lighten up the topic.
Okay.
Yeah. So, you know, the pattern is basically, because this has happened many, many times before. And I think the pattern is definitely more, he doesn't know how to respond and he tries to cheer me up, but I don't think he understands that's not what I want. And, you know, I will say my mistake was that I expected him to have the answer or know what to do. So I learned this in therapy. I was like, you know, it's not a bad thing to tell the person what you need in that moment. But then when I started telling him, okay, you don't know what to say, that's fine. Just come give me a hug and sit with me. It's like he can't help himself. Like he still tries to make jokes out of things. And I love his sense of humor. It's just the jokes at the inappropriate times that kind of bother me.
Do you ask him why he says it?
For shock value.
He says that, or that's your assumption?
No, he's told me that. In general, the humor is for shock value, right? In the moments where I need him to be honest, or I need him to comfort me.
Do you believe it?
I think I.
Because honestly, like, I don't know him. I don't know you, but
right.
I kind of don't believe him.
Really?
Well, because it would make more sense that, like, a lot of people are awkward and weird and uncomfortable in awkward situations. Mm-hmm. And particularly men can really struggle with that. Like, I have definitely been guilty of, like, responding in a very unempathetic, kind of awkward, weird way, you know, or I've been accused of being aloof, and I am, and sometimes I can check in and then I can check out. And then when I check back in and I don't know what to say, there's like, people will just feel like they have to say something. And I think that's sometimes harder to even acknowledge. So you just say some things like, well, I was just, you know, trying to be, I say it for shock value. Like, he's some sort of renegade. I don't know if that's the case, but that actually sounds more believable than, like, you're actually dating someone who you've tried to articulate how it makes you feel. And then he deliberately, knowingly ignores your feelings and continues to do what you're asking him not to do. Mm-hmm. And his only excuse is for shock value. And so I guess the big question is, you have to decide, do you think he's telling the truth? Or do you think he just can't help himself and he just needs to work on something, you know? Because it's one thing to articulate to your partner about something that makes you like, I hate it when you do this. That's always hard to hear. My partner hates it when I do this. And we never want to. And sometimes it's like, I hate that I do that too. And I wish I didn't do this. And like what you say you hate that I'm doing, you're not the first person who said that to me. In fact, my whole life, people have said shit like this to me. I'm kind of embarrassed about it. I don't know why I keep fucking doing it. I do it. I'm like awkward or weird. I don't know what to say. Maybe it has something to do with an attachment style. You know, I don't know. I'm not like an expert in that kind of stuff. But he has to, like, you know what I'm saying? So like, because if you think that he just doesn't give a shit about how you feel and he's doing it regardless, then to me, that's like, if that's what you believe, to me, that's enough to break up with someone. Because right. You have tried to articulate how you felt about a feeling. You've repeated to yourself. You've tried to be patient with him and he doesn't give a shit. Now, on the flip side, if it's more the latter of him just like struggling with this, then there's a little bit of like both of you just, you know, like you trying to, it's not as simple as saying, I don't like that you do this, so stop, and expect that they will immediately do it the way you expect them to do it going forward. Mm-hmm. But you need to see an effort from them to say, hey, is there like, and maybe you say, is it really shock value? Because like, if it is really shock value, then I'm really struggling with that. But if it's just like, you know, am I the first person who's told you this? Like, why do you think you do this? Can we work on this? Can we work on you not responding this way? And maybe you just ask them politely, if we feel awkward, just, you know, don't say anything. Give me a hug or whatever it is. And try, and maybe that's where couple counseling can like be a benefit to you guys, where you guys go in and talk about moments where you don't see eye to eye over things. And then that therapist can give you both tools of trying to both see the other person's point of view.
So I definitely think he does struggle with it. I think it's, you hit the nail on the head. He says that I'm not the first person who's made those kinds of comments before. And it's almost like he can't help himself. And some of the more comments that he's made that were for shock value, he has actually completely stopped those, because the one he said to me one time actually really hurt me. And I froze again, because I was like, I must be like dreaming, like that someone that I love would say something like that, you know? And so he has completely stopped the more of the hurtful ones that are more like dark comedy, as he likes to call it. But the little jokes or the, I think it's more diffusing the sad energy. He tells me he doesn't really like to feel sadness, and I'm someone that has a lot of emotion to give, maybe a little bit too much. So on my end, I've definitely learned to not, you know, this isn't like a clinical term or anything like that, but like trauma dump on him, because I sometimes don't sift through my emotions.
Is this someone you hope or want to think that is this your person, or you hope is this person, or are you on the fence about him being your person? Like, where do you stand with this relationship, and what do you hope for it?
I hope he's my person. Okay. Because I,
so you're still hopeful, like you,
yes, okay. Yes, yes.
So have you considered couples therapy with this person?
I have, after going through a lot of therapy myself. You know, I realized that sometimes like wish he was there. Unfortunately, the reality of the situation is that because of our schedules, it's really difficult to find a time that works for both of us. And
not if it's a priority for both of you.
Right. That's what I said. But unfortunately, I don't feel like a priority, it changes. Okay. So I actually went through a very dark moment in the fall time where I like slowly started removing myself. I say a lot of self-deprecating jokes about myself, and one of them is that I'm a needy person, which, you know, I am. I can admit to that.
The worst things in the world to be.
and he feels, hasn't told me this, but this is how it makes me feel. My need to be around him or to spend time with him impinges on like his freedom and his autonomy. So I told myself, okay, well, I genuinely don't know if I was putting too much pressure on him. So I told myself, I'm like, okay, well, just travel, go see your friends. Don't, you know, rely on him too much. If he comes to you, he comes to me. And so then I actually ended up having a really good time spending time with my friends, and slowly I was removing myself from the situation.
So you kind of took like a mini break from the relationship.
I mean, no, we would still hang out and like,
but you try to create some distance and.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay. And he seemingly did not notice whatsoever, which became,
me you were doing this, or you were hoping he would notice?
I was hoping he would notice. Yeah.
So like not very productive. What it was is potentially productive for you to get a read on how much he was paying attention. Because what this sounds like to me is you two just might not be compatible.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe, I don't know. But it seems like you're at the point in the relationship where you are bringing up some real life issues, some lack of compatibility that might be something you guys can both work through, and it might not. And your ability to work through it or not will 100% come down to you two as individuals, how much you give a shit about the relationship. Sounds like you Agreed. Give a shit and you question how much he does. Now, he might say he gives a shit, but at the same time, you could just be incompatible. He's just like, maybe for him, you are too needy, right? Maybe for you, he lacks the empathy you require to feel like you're in a loving relationship. And that doesn't necessarily mean that either of you are doing something wrong. Like, we all have things to work on. You have things to work on. He has things to work on. And you guys could both work on them or not work on them. And some people are more compatible than others, right? And you two have identified ways in which you're not compatible. And this lack of compatibility is coming to a head. Now, every couple has to deal with some level of incompatibility. They all have some differences, right? But right now, you're kind of at this point in this relationship where a lot of people, you know, you're at that kind of year and a half mark. You've invested a lot. You've thought about marrying him. You've thought about a future with him. And so you get to this point where, you know, a lot of these issues come up, but you want to sweep them under the rug and you want to tell yourself they're not a big deal and you want to like see how you could do things differently. And it's good that you are looking in the mirror to see, you know, it's not just his fault. I'm playing a role too, but you do need a partner. And you do need someone who's also willing to look in the mirror themselves and look at ways they can do it. You can't be the general manager of this relationship. You know, like you can't be the one who's constantly thinking about the thing they need to do. We talked about this, you know, in previous episodes about someone who's willing to participate in the relationship, right? And he either wants to make this work with you or he doesn't, because I'm hearing some incompatibility between you two. So to make it work, he has to want to be able to build that bridge with you. Right? Because mm-hmm. your incompatibility will like create ways that you guys just don't see eye to eye. And that happens all the time. But healthy relationships get through that and they find that middle ground. They bridge the gap, right? But it takes two mm-hmm. people to make that bridge. You can't build the bridge on your own. You know, he's got to build his part that gets you to your part and you guys meet and you guys see eye to eye and whatever. So I think you're at, it sounds like you might be at a point in the relationship where you say, hey, listen, like, this is how I'm feeling. You know, we both played a role. I need us to do this. I need us to go to couples therapy because I'm having some serious doubts about our compatibility. I love you and I see a future with you. I want to be with you, but I don't know. And you might not know. We're not engaged. We're certainly not married. So we both recognize that alone, that we are still on the fence about being with each other forever. And I need to address these issues now for both of our sakes, because neither of us want to waste more of each other's times if we're not each other's person. And as hard as that might be, I think we need to figure this out and start there. See what he says. If he refuses to go, if he's not willing to make it a priority, because you know, he could refuse to go and that's like a non-starter, then I think you have your answer. If he says, oh yeah, yeah, we could go, but like, I just can't find the time. He never makes a priority. That's not much better. Right. Mm-mm. So he's got to be willing to make it a priority. And if you can't even get on the same page that the relationship needs some outside help to like help you guys see each other eye to eye and work through some of these issues, then that should be your answer too, because it's not going to get better. It will only get worse. That distance, that gap of not seeing eye to eye will only increase. It won't naturally just decrease. You know, these are things that you have tried to already work through on your own and haven't been able to. And no amount of like books you read about attachment styles or reading the internet is going to help you guys bridge that gap. It might help you empathize with him a little bit more, but he's not empathizing with you. So it doesn't do you much good. It just makes you feel a little less crazy. And that's good for you, but it doesn't help the relationship. So I just think you're kind of at this crossroad with the relationship where you have to see if you guys can get some professional help to help you communicate a little bit more effectively so that you guys can get on the same page, that when you have this conflict, he is working on tools that a therapist would give you to help, you know, either bite his tongue or empathize with you a little bit better. You'll get some tools to like better understand where he's coming from so that you guys, like, these don't always become an issue. Or you guys both come to a conclusion that like maybe this relationship, despite all the love you guys have for each other, is just kind of too much work, you know? And that's okay. Like, love isn't enough. Ending the relationship is an option you should put on the table. And I think that will make you feel a little bit more empowered to like do what will ultimately be best for you, for both of you. Mm-hmm. You know, if your incompatibility is so strong, like, you're just both not going to be happy. You guys are just, you know, two good people can make each other miserable despite saying they love each other. If they're just too stubborn to like consider that maybe it's just not a good fit.
Yeah, I agree.
So then you're still very young. But at the same time, you're reaching a point in your life where you don't have time to waste. So don't waste your time trying to fix something that your partner is not willing to make a priority.
That's a good way of thinking about it.
All right.
Okay.
All right. Well, best of luck. Let us know give us an update in a couple months and where you're at.
I will.
All right. Take care.
Thank you. Bye.
All right. Bye-bye. Thanks for listening, guys. Don't forget to send those questions at AskNick@CastMe.com. Cast with a K. We'll see you tomorrow. You're crazy.